But I just want to talk this morning, actually, because it fits in to a measure. I want to talk about the providence of God and remembering the providence of God. And the word providence, you look at different dictionaries, it just says here, the foreseeing care and guidance of God over the creatures of the earth. And we either believe that or we don't. And as Christians, of course, we do. The Word of God declares it. It is a manifestation of divine care or direction. And another interpretation is God omnisciently, all-knowingly, directing the universe and affairs of humankind with wise benevolence. And it's not up to us to understand all the dealings and the ways of God. His ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts, etc., and vice versa. And it's good to remember that God is God, and he is in control. Man thinks he is, but we know that God is God. And in these times of trouble and worry and anxiety, especially for those people in Ukraine and other countries nearby and other things that are going on, and I'm not talking about it generally here as in the world, but in our own lives, in times of fear and trouble and distress and doubt and anxiety and despair, sometimes we're worrying about the future and what's going to happen, the expectations and the suspense that we're in as well at the moment in different things. We can very easily lose our peace if we're not careful in these situations and circumstances. And it's in times like this we need to remember the providence of God. And we have to look back in the scriptures, but also in our own lives, our own individual lives and the lives of the church and church history, we have to look back at the providence of God in our own lives. It's so vitally important, and it's good for us to look back individually and as a church at the good things that God has done. The good things that he has done for us in the past, which have blessed us at that time and have comforted us and have encouraged us in those difficult times. And the experiences that we've had throughout our lives of the faithfulness of God. And as we look back on those times, and it's good to actually sit down sometimes and meditate and go over your Christian life, even before your Christian life, and remember the things that have happened in your life and the things that God has done and the times of tests and trials and disasters and calamities and how God has brought us through them and was there all the time, although we didn't often feel his presence. But we look back and we have a peace and a calm that comes into our spirits when we remember the providence of God. In the time of Samuel, when after the ark had been taken captive by the Philistines and eventually it came back, and then the Philistines came back and they wanted to attack Israel again, and Samuel prayed for the people and God thundered in the heavens, etc., and they defeated the Philistines, but they were afraid of what was going to happen. And Samuel just says this, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." And in every experience we go through in the world, in situations, etc., this is not the first time that there has been trouble and difficulty. In our own lives, it's not the first time. I don't know what this coming week we will be faced with, but it's not the first time that we've ever been in trouble or anxiety, etc. It's not the first time we may be discouraged, we may be fearful, we may have little hope in different situations that we have to face. It's not the first time. And God is the same as he ever has been every other time things have happened, individually or corporately. He's the same God as before. His love is the same. His faithfulness is the same. His strength is the same. His power is the same. His wisdom is the same. And his hands and mighty hands and his mighty power are still the same. And the other man that wrote many of the Psalms, Asaph, one of the music leaders, etc., in Psalm 77, he says this, "I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old, and I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds." And he remembered the good things that God had done. And by remembering them, he was refreshed and revitalized in his own spirit. And the memories of them just brought peace to his heart. And you get that very often in the Psalms and in other passages of Scripture. And it's a little bit like, this is probably, you think, well, what's the connection here? But we remember when Elijah's servant was sent to look for the cloud. And Elijah kept sending him back every time. And he went and looked, and there was nothing in the sky. And he went again, and he went again. And he came back, and he was looking for something, wasn't he? He was looking for something, some sign of hope that wasn't there. And suddenly he sees that sign of hope, and he rushes back to Elijah and says, there's a cloud the size of the man's hand. And then suddenly everything was filled in the sky, the rains came, and God was glorified in what he did. But it says, when it says there, it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. You can only imagine the excitement and the expression with it. He didn't just come back, oh, Elijah, there's a cloud, Elijah, and up everything happened. That servant would always remember seeing that cloud for the rest of his life. He will never forget that experience. And he will live with that. And at times in his future life, when things were a little bit dark, he would remember, I saw the cloud. And we have to be like that, looking for the cloud. This is what an old Puritan said. Ah, sirs, let me tell you, there is not such a pleasant history for you to read in all the world as the history of your own lives. If you would but sit down and record from the beginning hitherto what God has been to you and done for you. And if you sit down and do that, brothers and sisters, it's amazing what you will remember. I've done that often, and I've looked back over my life, and I've remembered certain things that have happened, and it just thrills me at the grace and the sovereignty of God. And we can revive ourselves, actually, and have fresh hopes. And we say, yes, Lord, you did that for me. You did this for me, and all the different things. We sang that chorus, he commands our destiny because of his providence in our lives. And we have to remember them. Again, I think it was the same Puritan said, if you will thank God for your providences, you will never lack a providence to thank God for. I like it. When Jacob was 147 years of age and he was about to die, he reflected upon the dealings of God, and he had a lot to think about, didn't he? All the things in Jacob's life, but the various providences, the good and the bad. And he talks to Jacob, to Joseph, his son, and he says, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and he blessed me. And he was reminding him, that's where I saw the ladder to heaven and the angels there, and that's where I changed the name to Bethel, the gate of heaven. And it wasn't the only time he was at Bethel. He returned again when God told him to go back from serving Laban. All that he went through there for 20 years, he went back to the same place, and God met him again, and confirmed again that his name was Israel. He'd wrestled with the angel. And then later on in that chapter, it says, he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, the two sons. He was saying, talking about the goodness of God in his own life. Later, Moses was directing after the battle of with the Amalekites, you know, when Joshua led the battle and Moses was praying on the mountain with his hands up. After the battle, he directed them to write a memorial that they would never forget that victory over Amalek. And he built an altar with an inscription, and it says, the Lord said to Moses, it was the direction of the Lord, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua. And it goes on to say, that's when Moses built, and it says, the Lord is my banner. And it was a memorial, a remembrance. And they would remember that they, as an untrained army, really, their first real battle, they had a victory. And when they were to face other battles later on, they could always go back to that and say, God was with us there. As long as they were praying up on the mountain, God gave us the victory. The Lord is my banner. And that's the very thing as well that Joshua does when he is about to die. And he addresses the people in that part where it says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But he records in Joshua 24 all the providences of God. It's only a short chapter, but the things that he remembers and tells them to remember. Abraham in Ur, when God called him, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Aaron, Egypt, the crossing of the Red Sea, the conquering of the east of Jordan, Balak and Balaam, Jordan, crossing of Jordan, Jericho, the conquering of the land, and all the Canaanites and all the otherites that were there. In that short passage, before he dies, the one thing he wanted to do with this generation that was going to be going in, or at least capturing all the rest of the land, he wanted to remind them of the providences of God. Mordecai and Esther, you know, the story of Haman and how he tried to annihilate the Jews. And the Feast of Purim, it wasn't a feast that was ordained by the Lord like the other feasts. This was a feast that Mordecai and Esther determined to have, and the Jews have celebrated it ever since to this very day. And he says about the Feast of Purim, that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation. These days of Purim should not fail to be observed among the Jews, and that the memory of them should not perish among their descendants. And to this day, they will celebrate that. And they will think about that. And they will remember those things. And they look forward in their own sort of thoughts concerning the Messiah, that one day that will happen again. That's how they do it. They remember these things. And you notice in the scriptures as well, not just things that people remember. Names of places are changed so that the people will actually remember the providences of God, the blessings and the encouragements that refreshed them. When Hagar went out into the wilderness when she was pregnant and Sarah treated her badly and she ran away, the angel of the Lord appeared to her and promised her that she would have a son and that he would be a blessing. And she changes the name and she says, have I also, she says, you are the God who sees, Bia Lahairoi. Have I also here seen him who sees me? And she changes the name to Bia Lahairoi, which is the place where God has seen me. And she will always, and we remember it because of that. And that has been a tremendous blessing to me. That was the very verse that God gave to me when he told me that I was to go to Bible college. I was in a place, I won't go into all the details, but I was having a very difficult time. I said, God, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? It was a terrible time I was having. And I felt like Hagar, that I'd come to the end of my tether. And then the Lord gave me this, and as he said it, he was telling me, this is where I want you to go. So these are blessings, not only for Hagar. I thought, one day if I get to heaven, I might say to Hagar, thank you for doing that. Thank you for being there. It was that directed something in my life that was important. We've already mentioned about Jacob at the gate of heaven, and he named that place Bethel, the house of God. You find names that were given to God by the people to remember. Abraham on Mount Moriah, what did he say? Jehovah Jireh. That was the first time we see that name in the scriptures, and it was we remember that because of what happened to Abraham. He is our Jehovah Jireh. Gideon, when he went through that, thought he would die after he saw the angel of the Lord, and it was a Christophany, it was the Lord Jesus manifesting himself. He built an altar and he called it the Lord is peace, Jehovah Shalom. Again, how many times do you hear Shalom, Shalom, Jehovah, Shalom? It was a providence of God. People gave names to their children because of the providence of God, when God ordered their lives. We know what happened to Hannah, how bitter a soul and spirit she was because she didn't have any children. And then, what does she call him? Samuel, heard of God. And what a providence in her life. She did not know what that young baby was going to become. All that she'd gone through, and God had controlled her life, controlled her destiny, allowed those things to happen to her, allowed her to get into bitterness of spirit, and she was desperate before God, and then God gave her a Samuel. We don't understand the ways of God, but when we look back, that's why it's good to remember. Without remembering and appreciating the providence of God, we actually fail to praise Him for them, don't we? And I'm as guilty as the next person. I can preach this, but I think, how often do I actually thank God for the providences in my life? In Psalm 107, the psalmist is narrating God's providential care, and this verse comes up many times. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And there's a verse in that psalm, Psalm 107, verse 43. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. It's only when we sit down and meditate and thank God, then we understand how good God has been to us, and it feeds our faith. The providences of God as well, they're not only to remind us of blessings, but they're also to stop us from straying away from Him and from disobeying. And we've all done that as well, haven't we? When Israel was in apostasy, before they were taken into the Babylonian captivity, Jeremiah was told by the Lord, "Go now to my place, which was in Shiloh." That was where the temple, the tabernacle had been, a temple where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it because of the wickedness of my people. There are certain things in our lives that happen, and we have to remember them because they're a warning not to do it again. And Micah, the prophet, says through the Lord, "Remember now what Balak, king of Moab, counseled, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him, that you may know the righteousness of the Lord." All of these things are warnings, and Psalm 70, the title of it, to bring to remembrance. It's a prayer for relief. But I want to look as well at some of the past providences that encourage expectancy for new and fresh ones. Moses, after the Lord had threatened to reject Israel, when the spies had come back and they disobeyed and they didn't want to go in, the Lord said to Moses, "I'm going to start again. I'm going to forget about the others. I'm going to start again." And Moses was upset about that, and he prays for God's providences and pardon for the people. And he says this: "Pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt even until now." He says, "Lord, you have forgiven them in the past. Please forgive them again." And I thank God for that, because when I come before the Lord, I can say, "Lord, you have forgiven me in the past. Please forgive me again." It's a continual forgiveness and cleansing. David said this concerning when he went out to fight Goliath. "The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Now, I don't know how he said it, and I don't know his attitude or anything like that, but he was so confident. Why was he confident? Because in the providence of God, God had allowed a lion to attack the sheep. He had allowed a bear to attack his sheep. Now, to any other person, they might have been terrified about that, but the anointing of God came upon David. He was able to deal with that, and because of that, which he would look back upon, he now knew that he could go out against this Philistine and defeat him. So some of the things that come against us that could terrify us and frighten us are the very things that God is preparing us to deal with something greater in our lives that will bring Him glory. The prophet Isaiah says this, Awake, awake. Put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. Are you not the arm that cut Rahab apart and wounded the serpent? Are you not the one who dried up the sea and the waters of the great deep? This is hundreds of years afterwards. He's not referring to something that happened a few years before. He goes all the way back to the time when God mightily delivered the Israelites at the Red Sea. It's good to go back and read the Bible. It's good to go back to the accounts in the Old Testament and be encouraged at the providence of God. God has not changed one iota since then. That's why it's good to get ourselves into the Word of God. When Paul was troubled in Asia and despairing of life and all the different things that were happening, he says, we didn't trust in God. We didn't trust in ourselves, but we trusted in God. And he says, he delivered us from so great a depth, and he does deliver us, and in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. He knew that God would do that. And when Jesus was crossing on over the lake, and he rebuked, he said to the disciples about the fact that they hadn't brought bread, or at least he was talking to them about it, and they thought it was because they hadn't. And he just turns around and he says, don't you remember the feeding of the 5,000? Don't you remember the providence of God? And it was a wonderful, a miraculous providence of God. Don't you remember? You saw it with your own eyes. You did it with your own hands. Remember what God has done. So the promises of God, what do they mean to us? They go hand in hand with the promises. The providences and promises of God go hand in hand. And you'll see this from the scriptures. When Solomon saw the expanse of the kingdom from the north to the south and the east to the west, he said this, Lord, you have kept what you promised your servant David, my father. You've spoken with your mouth and you fulfilled it with your hands. Joshua, at the end of his life again, he says, Lord, not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you to the Israelites. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. God will keep his promises and his providence will make sure of that. But we have to be honest with ourselves and before the Lord and each other. The providences of God, the dealings of God in our lives, they often puzzle us, don't they? More often than not, actually. I don't understand why the Lord has allowed what's happening in Ukraine at the moment. I don't understand it. Don't understand a lot of things. Maybe we'll one day find out, maybe we won't. But God has allowed it and he's allowing these things to happen. But the word can often give us some understanding and comfort. And in Psalm 73, it's the psalm when the psalmist is saying, I don't understand, Lord, why the wicked always seem to prosper. Everything always seems to go all right for them. They don't seem to get into trouble. And he says that, and in the end, he gets a little bit bitter. And in a sense, he's saying, is it worth it? Is it really worth it to serve the Lord? I'm having all these troubles and things, and yet look what's happening. We could say that today. The people in Ukraine could be saying, what have we done? And we don't have the answers. We don't understand. And Putin and the Russia and all the... They'll have their comeuppance at some day. God will deal with him, and we know that. But when you're going through a situation, it's very, very difficult, isn't it? And then he says, until I went into the sanctuary, then I understood their end. Hitler had power. He doesn't have it anymore. Stalin had power. He doesn't have it anymore. Napoleon has power. He doesn't have it anymore. And we know where they are. Putin has power. The Chinese president has power. The North Korean president has power, and they will do some terrible and atrocious things, but we know where they will end up. And we have to remember those things. And he goes on to say, I was so foolish and ignorant, I was like a beast before you. And I said things I didn't understand. So we have to leave these things with the Lord. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay in whichever way he chooses. And the Lord did say for us Christians, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he will not leave our Christian brothers and sisters in Ukraine. He will be with them. And maybe in the future we will hear of some wonderful providences of God in their particular situation. I will be with him in trouble, the Lord says, and I will honour him. I want to add something else concerning individually now our own lives. I said before about remembering some of the things that God has done for us. And it's always good to remind ourselves of what God did for us to bring us to himself, to bring us to our salvation. And we've been singing about it again. God orders the time, the place, the occasion, and the instrument that will bring us to salvation. And he did it in my life, and he's done it in yours. He did it for Naaman. How did he do it? There was a little maid that was taken from Israel, very insignificant, don't even know her name. There she was, and then heard that her master had leprosy. And she just goes up and says, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would heal him of his leprosy. What faith, what simplicity. It was that little girl that led to Naaman's conversion to and the mighty miracle. She was in the right place at the right time. The woman at the well. Jesus needed to go through Samaria. She didn't expect when she went out that day to be saved and to meet the Messiah and have an experience that would change her life, and nor did the rest of the village that she was in. Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. When Zacchaeus heard that Jesus was coming through Jericho and he climbed up into the tree to look and have a good look, he never knew that that day he would be giving half his goods to the poor and a quarter and all the rest of it, etc., and that he would have salvation, that the Messiah would live or at least come to his house. Make haste, the Lord said, I've got to come to your house. The eunuch travelling back from Jerusalem didn't know, as he was reading the passage in Isaiah concerning the crucified Messiah, that he would meet that crucified Messiah, not in flesh, but through the ministry of Philip. And when Philip told, the Holy Spirit told Philip to go down there, he didn't know what he was going to meet. It was the right time, the right, the providences of God. And here they were right by a river where he could get baptized. Lydia, when Paul couldn't go to Asia to preach, couldn't go to Bithynia, and then he sees the vision and a man saying, come over and share with us. He didn't know it was going to be a woman that was going to be the first convert. He didn't know when he went down, and there, and she didn't know either that day when she just went down as usual with the others just to be around the word of God and meditate, that she would hear something that would change her life and her name would be written in the word of God, like all of these others. God opened her heart. The Philippian jailer, I'm giving you a sort of spice of life with all the different ones. This ungodly man couldn't care tuppence about the prisoners, didn't say, oh, here's another two, who are these, you know, what have they been doing, and locks them up, and every next minute hears them singing, what on earth's going on, then an earthquake. We know the story. And he comes in, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And that day his household was saved, he was baptized. He didn't know that was going to happen when he woke up in the morning. And then Onesimus, a slave of Philemon, runs away, wants his freedom, ends up meeting the Apostle Paul, who he would have met anyway when he had visited Philemon's home, and he gets saved, he gets changed, becomes a servant to Paul, and Paul sends him back with a letter to Philemon to be again a slave, or at least not a slave so much as a brother. What am I saying about this? You think of all those different ones that I've just said. They were all totally different. Different situations, different circumstances, but every one of them was a recipient of the providence of God. And they had a testimony to give. Some of them were seeking God. Zacchaeus was, the eunuch was, and Lydia was. And they received more than what they were expecting. A bit like Saul when he went to look for his father's donkeys, and he came back anointed as the first king of Israel. Some of them were ungodly. The Samaritan woman, the jailer, Onesimus. And yet God brought them to that place where they would find the providence of God in their own lives. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. How often we've planned our own lives, haven't we? We all had expectations, all things that we wanted to do, but I thank God for the day that he stepped into my life. Oh, I had my life planned out, what I wasn't going to do. I would have been living in Australia today. Mind, that would have been quite nice in the sunshine. But a chance meeting, and even that, I don't often share things like that, but you know, I was invited to go in Germany to a barbecue dance, 17 years of age. I went with a friend of mine, daughter of a diplomat in Australia who I was hoping to go out with. Met Ken, had a dance, talked with him, etc., etc. He was backslidden at the time, and he asked me to go out with him again, and I said no. I thought, I'll never see him again, nice evening, etc. But God had a different plan. And he asked me again, and I said no. And he wrote to me, and I said no. It went on for a little while until eventually my parents decided, said, well, he's a nice fella. My father had, you know, found out about a nice fella. So I went out with him. And it was through him talking to me one time about the Christian life. He was backslidden, but it was the beginning of my search for the Lord. And then we both came back from Germany, and then following March, I was going to go one way, he went another. I never expected to see him again. But over a year later, the Lord said, I've got a plan for you, and he brought us together again. And again, I said no. And I said no more than once, until eventually, when I said about Hagar on the well, it wasn't just the Bible college, it was Ken as well. But what I'm saying is, when I look back, I was thinking about it, I thought, Lord, even with my stubbornness, and even with your stubbornness, some of you are smiling at the moment, is that what happened with you, Lisa and Ali? Even with our stubbornness, even things when we want to direct our lives another way, the Lord has his way of bringing us to where he wants us. How many of you ever thought you would be here today? How many of you ever thought that you would be in this church, doing the things that you're doing, having lived the life that you have lived up until this moment? It's all the providence of God. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Amos said, I wasn't a prophet, I wasn't the son of a prophet, but the Lord took me as I followed the flock. And he said, go and prophesy to my people Israel. It says of David, he took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes that had young, he brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people. And Peter and Andrew and the other disciples, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So what am I saying? I said a lot this morning, and I hope it's found a lodging place in our hearts, but God is still the same. He's got your life, my life, in his hands. And whatever comes about in our lives, some things we will like, some things we won't like, but God is working out his purposes and he's changing us into the image of his Son. Not for now, but for eternity. That we will be worthy of him. And his hand is upon our lives, his hand is upon our church, and his hand is upon our nation, although it doesn't look like it at the moment. His hand is upon Ukraine. His hand is upon the whole world. And God will perfect that which concerns his church, but he will bring about the plans that he has purposed from before the foundation of the earth. Jesus is coming again. We sang it again this morning. And the longer we look at the things that are happening in the world, the more we believe that it's not going to be that much longer. And in the meantime, we have to look to the Lord and believe that he is God. And his hand is upon everything, and we have to trust him no matter what our eyes see. It's what our faith believes that counts. Amen.